Well, we're so glad that you're here today, and we are excited about what God is doing. Again, Christmas Eve next week, and make sure you invite somebody. But man, I've been loving praying for our missionaries, and just really been doing that. I mean, I do that a lot already, but just specifically emailing them, letting them know that we're praying for them. Hope you've been doing that. Just been encouraging them. And one of the things about a mission, as we kind of get toward the end of the year, is an end of the year offering. And our goal is to raise $29,000 in our mission giving for this month. And I know that we can do this. You know, this is above and beyond your regular giving. And as we get closer to the end of the year, and I think it's interesting for you to know how this works for our missionaries. A lot of our missionaries, they have bills. They have to buy food just like you do, you know. And as we send them into different parts of the world. You know, what they do before they go to that mission field, if they're called to go to Africa or South America, what they would do is for about 3-4 years, they would travel around the United States to churches like ours, and they would present their mission field, and they would say, hey, can you pray about considering support? And a lot of churches, some churches would, you know, it's not an exact amount, but some churches might do $25 a month. Some might do more, $100. Some churches might do a lot more than that. They might support a missionary at $500 a month. And so missionaries, they would travel, you know, for 2, 3, 4 years until they can get to 90%, 100% of their support before they can even go to the mission field. And so that's to understand how that works. You know, there's not a sugar daddy somewhere in Italy, you know, that's going to pay for them to go. They depend on churches like ours to do that. And so I want you to be praying about how you can give. There's, you know, originally the goal was 5,000, but we increased it because there's one of our missionary partners is in South Africa, Jim Foster, and they've just been hit left and right, you know, churches that used to support them, whether they close up or they just financially not able to support them, they've lost, you know, about 25% of their support in the last couple of years. So much that they, you know, Jim and his wife, Christina Foster, they don't even have health insurance. They've been living for the last year without health insurance. And they're still under water on different things and bills that they've not paid for. And so they've really been praying about, hey, do we need to come back and lose a couple of years on a mission field? Or are there some churches that can really help? And they didn't specifically call me. You know, I was just reading one of their mission prayer letters. And it's about God. Said, God, what can we do as a church to help them out? And so we want to be able to, you know, to step up a little bit more this year and just be able to help, you know, all of our missionaries, including Jim and Christina Foster in South Africa, so that they can continue to do the mission work. And so, again, pray about what that means. Got to the end of the year. You know, to give, you can give online, you can give here, you know, in the offering basket, you can mail it in, and go. You can give through our app, and you can also set aside or designate it under mission, you know, and you can say, hey, this is my mission special giving for the year as we close out 2023, and I know that we can do this together. Well, you know, as I think about these missionaries, they're light. There are lighthouses all around the world. In a dark world, we've been talking about the darkness of humanity. And it's been dark ever since man fell in the Garden of Eden, ever since Adam and Eve sinned. Humanity has been dark. And it's been getting darker. We look around our world today and we see darkness everywhere. And we said a few weeks ago, we said it last week, that the darker the night, the brighter the light. And that light is Jesus. And Christmas is a wonderful time of the year where we can see the brightness of how, of who Jesus is. I love that in our cultural American, in our American culture that, you know, that we're all, you'll see on mainstream media. You know, I was watching Rockefeller Christmas a few weeks ago when they light up the Christmas tree, and they were singing, you know, the different artists, they were singing on the platform, you know, songs about Jesus. And I thought, man, the message of Jesus is still ringing true, even though people may not get it in their heart. They're singing it out of their mouth. I'm saying, you know what? The light of Christ is still shining. He's still shining. You know, I was in the Old Testament, there's a man named Micah. He's a prophet. And Micah, you know, just dark. Darkness everywhere. And, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, you know, Israel is under disarray. They've been conquered. They're now a conquered state, you know, a slave state. And everything's in rubble. And Micah, in Micah 7, verse 8, in the Old Testament, he said, though I sit in the darkness, the Lord will be my light. He still shines. He's still shining. You know, if you were to ask anyone today, what's the most joyful time of the year? Without any question, it would be unanimous that Christmas is the most joyful time of the year. Now, one of the carols that we hear everywhere on our radio station is the song, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. In 1719, a man named Isaac Watts wrote a song, wrote four verses to this song, and this song came from Psalm 98. And he wrote the beloved Joy to the World. What's interesting about this song is one time, just one time in all four verses, does it talk about, you know, Jesus being born. And all it says in that very first line, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. No mention of the wise men, no mention of Mary and Joseph, there's no mention of the manger, no mention of Bethlehem. No mention of the shepherds, and yet it's one of our most beloved Christmas carols because it really captures the essence of what Christmas is all about, the joy of Christmas. You see, Christmas is not just joy to America. It's not a national joy. Christmas is not a joy to the rich. It's not a financial joy. Christmas is not joy only for the educated. It's not intellectual joy. Christmas is not joy to the happy, not emotional joy. It's not joy to the healthy. It's not a physical joy. See, Christmas is joy to the world. In fact, it's a universal joy for all of us. And we go back to our main passage of scripture that we've been looking at the past couple of weeks. In Luke chapter 2, and again we see the shepherds and the angels in verse number 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. The Bible said the shepherds were terrified. I promise you, you would be terrified if an angel showed up in the middle of the night. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news, good tidings that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. I mean, here you are, you're a shepherd. I've already talked about these last couple of weeks, but the shepherd, it's a business as usual. It's another night in the office. They're minding their own business, keeping their eyes on the flock, making sure a big bad wolf don't come around to eat them up. They were considered to be very low class in that time period, very low class. They wouldn't even let them in the, you know, the local government wouldn't even let shepherds in to testify in the court of law because they wanted to be trusted. Nobody grew up thinking, oh, one day I hope to one day be a shepherd. Nobody thought that. No kid ever said they would grow up to be a shepherd. And here you have the lowest of the low, and all of a sudden, an angel, beautiful, holy, majestic angel, appears before them and gives them this special announcement. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people, for everyone. And then he said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Angel telling the shepherds, he will be born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The angel personalized this birth announcement to the shepherd. Hey, it's for you too. They got the greatest message, the shepherd did. They got the greatest message of joy about a Savior. And the Savior was born for them. Was born for them. The Lord, the Savior came to save them too. And so we see the word Savior, if you're taking note, the word Savior. It had a couple of definitions. A couple of my favorite ones is the word rescuer. It also means a liberator. That's what a Savior means. In fact, the name Jesus, it means the one who saves. The one who saves. In fact, the Hebrew word, I find it interesting. You know, the word Jesus was a very, very, very common name. You know, it's so common that in the English language, you know, in the Hebrew, it's pronounced Yeshua. We get the English word Joshua, the common name. You know, Joshua. And so, you know, but the name Jesus or Joshua, or even in the Old Testament, another name, it's Hosea. It's the same word. It means the one who saved. A Savior had been born for you. See, Jesus came into this world for presidents and for the paupers. Jesus came into the world for kings and the commoners and everyone in between. He came for you. A Savior, a rescuer, a liberator. And so this statement, a Savior had been born for you. He said, I've got the greatest message of joy. That great message of joy. Man, I hear a lot of good messages. I've heard a good announcement. I hear a good announcement when a couple are engaged to get married. Oh, everybody loved that announcement. You know, or the announcement of, I'm expecting. That's a good announcement, right? You know, or I've got a new job and it pays 10 times better than the old job. That's a pretty good announcement. But the greatest announcement that will bring the greatest joy and that announcement is the Savior has been born to you. We'll give us three thoughts why that is the greatest statement of joy in your life and mine. Number one, the Savior is born to save you from an eternal hell. The Savior is born to save you, save me from an eternal hell. You know, a lot of people don't like to think about hell. A lot of churches, I know a lot of pastors that just don't want to talk about hell. They don't want to talk about that subject. And they say, well, you know, if I talk about hell, it might scare some people away, it might offend some people, it might turn some people off. And so we just don't really talk about hell. But here's the hard truth. And the hard truth is this, and we need to hear this, because we got to know what the Savior, why he's saving us. And he's saving us because the hard truth is that every single person in the world who does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior is on the highway to hell. On the highway to hell. And that's a hard truth. That's not a fun truth, but it's a truth that needs to be told. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you, my friend, is on a highway to hell. Jesus, he talked a lot. He talked a lot about heaven and hell. In fact, he talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Multiple times. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, he talked about both of them. He said, there will be some that will go away to eternal punishment. He's making a reference to people that will go to hell. He said, in the righteous, those who are in right standing with God, those who have a relationship with God, the righteous will go to eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. The most familiar verse that we know is John 3:16. John 3:16, I call it the gospel in a nutshell. In fact, I love it. Last night, my wife and I, my family, we walked down the street of Rochester. You know, you gotta do that, right? You gotta, you know, if you live around here, you gotta Christmas light, you gotta fight the crowd, the madness, find a parking spot. You know, it's just kind of almost an obligatory thing to do. You know, you got to go downtown Rochester to look at the lights. And so we did that last night. We're just walking through, and we stumbled across a coffee shop. And the coffee shop said Cafe 316, brand new. And we go in there and plastered on the wall. I love it. They've got John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, it teaches about God's love for the world. It teaches God's love for you. But it also teaches us that we're perishing. The word perishing means to be utterly destroyed. And in this verse right here, it means that we will be separated in an eternal death. That we will be separated from God eternally. Perishing, utterly destroyed. The reference to hell. He gave his son so that you wouldn't perish. So that you wouldn't be utterly destroyed. So that you won't be separated from God for eternity. In 1998, a movie that Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck came out, a movie called Armageddon. That's a classic summer blockbuster hit. Of course, all summer blockbuster hit had a major, you know, common theme. You know, there's a villain, you know, good guy come in, beat the villain, we win. All right? In Armageddon, the villain was a big giant asteroid. And they were coming to planet Earth. And we, the world, were going to be the victim. We would be destroyed by this giant asteroid. It was headed toward a crash collision to the United States, to the world, to everybody. It was going to destroy us all. All right? By the way, it's not a true story, okay? But it's coming. And then, of course, Bruce Willis, he's the man of the hour. He said, I'll take on the asteroid. And he does. He flies on a spaceship. Lands on the asteroid, he blows it up. He saved the world. Now, he dies while saving the world, but he saved the world. And I thought, man, what a powerful truth of what Christmas is all about, because you and I were on a crash collision to hell. To death and hell. It was all of us in the same boat. It's coming. And then Jesus came. And he saved us. He rescued us from that crash collision and gave us an opportunity to be saved, be rescued. All of us are on a crash collision with death, and only Jesus came to save you from that. He'll save anyone who will call upon his name. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. By the way, everyone, you could put your name in the place of everyone. You can say, John, who calls on the name of the Lord. Becky, who calls on the name of the Lord. Whoever you are, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what family you were born into. None of that matters. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be rescued. You should be rescued. And so it's a statement of joy because Jesus came to save you and I from an eternal hell. But it's also a statement of joy because in the second thought is this, the Savior is born to save you and I from our living hell. From our living hell. Growing up, we used to sing in church. Back in those days, we had a hymn book. You know what I'm talking about? They open up the page for hymn number 217. And you open up 217, and you know, and the piano starts to warm up and start to play. And so we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth stanza. We always skip the third stanza for whatever reason. I always felt bad for the third verse. First, second, and fourth. We don't sing the first, second, and last stanza. We sing one of these songs, and some of you old timers will know this song. It's song in the sweet by and by. Y'all know that song? Some of you are, okay. And it's in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And that's salvation. All right, that's God. For the sweet by and by, we're saved. The sweet by and by, that's heaven. All right, God saving us from an eternal hell. But you know, salvation is also for the nasty now and now. He saved us from a living hell. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, Scott, I know I've been saved from eternal hell. I know I'm going to heaven. But I'm in living hell with my life. My life is falling apart. My spouse has left me. My life has taken one financial hit, one after another. I feel like I'm treading water. I can barely get my head above water. I can barely make it. I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted to that. My life is just miserable. And I may not be going to hell, but I'm experiencing hell in my life. I remember my grandparents went to a vacation, you know, growing up, and they come back and they bring back the souvenirs. And they brought me back a souvenir, and it was very popular back in those days. The souvenir would be a T-shirt. And the T-shirt said, I went to Bahamas, and all I got you was this lousy T-shirt. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Have you got one of those? You know, just me. I got a couple of those T-shirts. And I went to, you know, Colorado, and I'm like, and that's what it says on the T-shirt. All I got you was this lousy T-shirt. And I said, okay, thanks you, Grandma. You know, very thoughtful. And, you know, some of us here, we thought, man, I became a Christian. And my life hasn't come together. In fact, all I feel like I got is this lousy T-shirt. And maybe that's where you're at today. I thought when I became a Christian, life was just going to come up perfectly. It was going to be great. But it's gotten worse. It's not gotten better. And you've been frustrated. And you're here and you say, man, I feel like God has abandoned me. That God doesn't love me. Because life doesn't make sense. You will say that you are experiencing a living hell. But the Savior has come. He has come. And that is good news, my friend. It's good news of great joy. Great joy to save you, not just for eternity, but to save you right now. To fill your life right now with the good things of God. In fact, God wants you and I to live a life of joy. Now, joy is much, much different than happiness. He promised you a happy life. He promised you a life of joy. See, there's a big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is all external. Joy is internal. Happiness depends on outward circumstances. Joy depends on inward character. Happiness depends on what happens to you. Joy depends upon who lives inside of you. Happiness is based on chance. In fact, the word happiness, happenstance. It's a chance, you know, there's moments of happiness. But joy is based on a choice. You can be joyful without being happy. Yeah, I've done several funerals over the years, and a wonderful dear saint, those who love the Lord. And oftentimes when I go to the widow or the widower to comfort them, it reverses itself. They comfort me. And they're sad. It's not a happy moment. They've lost the love of their life. But they have a certain joy that's unspeakable. They can't explain it. They say, you know, I have a joy in my heart. I know that God is in control. I know that God is in control. You see, my circumstances, my joy is not determined by my circumstances. My joy is determined not by a feeling, because joy is not a feeling. Joy is a person. And that person is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all you need. After the first service, the couple came to me and said, Pastor Scott, I know exactly what you're talking about. The past weekend, I buried my dad. He was 92 years old. Although I'm sad, there's a certain joy in my life knowing that I will see him again. I know where he's at. And I know that Jesus, God, is still on the throne. C.S. Lewis said, joy is the serious business of heaven. Now, over 450 times in the scripture, God talks about joy and rejoicing. 450 times. And so we can experience joy in the now. This is how I do that. Joy can be defined as the positive confidence I feel from knowing and trusting God, regardless of the circumstances around me. I trust that God is still on the throne in my life. Even when life does not make sense, even when there's darkness all around, I keep my eyes focused on him. He is the author, he is the finisher of my faith. He who began a good work in me will keep working in my life, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is not finished with me. Even though it feels like life is falling apart, I don't trust him because he knows what he's doing. That's joy. That's joy. And so we have the statement of joy, and the angels, right? They said, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. I got great news that will cause great joy for all the people. And then the angels from verse 14, they said, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. God wants to give you his joy. He wants to give you his peace. He wants to give it to you. But you know, we have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, that wants to take it all away. And he'll do that the moment you leave these doors and get on the high road this afternoon. Because there's nothing joyful right now what's happening out there. You can lose it all. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to take a circumstance of your life and throw a curveball at you. Bible said in John chapter 10, Jesus warned us about it. He said the thief comes, in 1 Timothy 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to take it all away. See, the devil wants to do two things. He wants to keep you on the highway to hell. He doesn't want you to have a relationship with God. But then once a person does become a Christian, once someone enters in a relationship with God, then the devil then, he's going to do everything he can to make your life miserable. He wants to steal it all away. He wants to kill it all away. And so he wants to destroy that joy that can only be found in Jesus. But in the rest of verse 10, the powerful truth of Jesus, Jesus said, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullness. I love another translation, have it more abundant. I give you life plus so much more. That's what Jesus offers us. And there are two ways to go in life. You can either go the Lord's way, you can go God's way, or you can go the devil's way. The devil's way leads to destruction. It's misery, darkness. It leads to a living hell. But God's way leads to heaven. It leads to life. It leads to abundance. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And so that's a statement of joy. He delivers us from our living hell. Here's the third thought. We're done. The Savior is born to save us from a meaningless life. A meaningless life. He wants to save you from a purposeless life. In Luke chapter 2, verse 15. So the angel's gone. The shepherds look at one another and say, what should we do with this? One of them speaks up and said, let's go to Bethlehem. That's Jesus' thing that has happened. Let's look for the sign of a baby born in a manger. Now, manger, by the way, a manger is a feeding trough. And I said, that would be kind of funny to see a baby in a feeding trough. That would be very unusual. And if what they've said it to be true, then we're going to town and we'll find a baby in a barn or in a cave, the different ideas of what where they were. And we'll look and see if he's born and where animals eat out of. And if we see that, then we'll know that the angels were talking the truth. And so the Bible said that they hurried off, and guess what? They found Mary, Joseph, and the baby who was in a manger. And when they seen him, they knew it was true. They saw a man. The angels, they said it. Now we believe it. And they spread the word concerning what's been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart. Meanwhile, the shepherds returned back to their field with a new purpose. New purpose. They're glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard and seen, which was just as they've been told. They said, man, we've been taking care of sheep for everybody to have their sacrifice, but man, we saw today with our own eyes the ultimate Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Of course, they're glorifying God. Of course, they're praising God because they saw a Savior that was born for them too. And they came back. They were changed. They were changed. They started off that night, ordinary men, just shooting the breeze with one another, just passing the time. And just like that, their life had been changed. You know, I love the story of Mark chapter 5. Now, Pastor Tom did a message a while back on that message. And back there, Tom, happy birthday, my friend. He had a birthday yesterday, and I'm so proud of him. And I preached a message, and in the title of that message, I'll never forget it. you can't forget a message from Tom every now and then. This one is one of the powerful classic messages with the naked, it's called Naked Bloody Guy. Naked Bloody Guy. That was the message. And I was like, okay, we're going to talk about a naked bloody guy. And sure enough, in Mark chapter 5, it's about this guy who was naked bloody, full of, possessed with demons, living in a cemetery. Just a terrifying person. And uncontrollable, misery, darkness. People stayed away from the cemetery because of this man. And there he is. And Jesus comes by, cast out the demons, change his life, just like that. Next thing you know, that man's in town. Everybody look at him and say, you look different. You've got clothes on, number one, okay? But you look different. Are you the same guy? He said, yeah, I'm the same guy. I'm the same guy. Well, what happened? I can't explain it all. I just know that there was a man named Jesus. He came to save. And ever since I met Jesus, I've been changed. Jesus was about to leave town. The old bloody naked guy, he's not bloody naked no more. He clothed and sang, all patched up. He said, Jesus, where are you going? And so I'm leaving. So I'm going to go with you. And Jesus said, nah. I got a new purpose for you. Your new purpose is to stay here and tell others about what happened. And sure enough, Mark chapter 5, verse 20, so the man went away. He began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were astonished. They were amazed what Jesus had done. A couple years ago, there was a lady named Kat Von D. She's been on the news lately. Kat Von D is her celebrity name. She starred in a show, a reality show called LA Inc. She had been involved in the occult, Satanism, did not believe in God, agnostic, atheist, lived a very hard life. A few years ago, she realized that the life she was living was on a highway to hell. Started looking around, started searching for the truth. I somehow came across the gospel truth of John 3:16, that God so loved the world, including her. And in 2022, she gave up her life, gave it to Jesus. Of course, she was on the LA Inc. show, so she naturally would have had tattoos all over the place, tattoos that represent the occult, Satanism. So I got to get it off. Her life was changed. And so she did everything she could to cover up all those old tattoos that represented the old life. 2 months ago, she went back to her roots, got away from the bright light of Hollywood, went to her hometown in Indiana, the old little church that her parents still go to. I go to the pastor, so I need to get baptized. Just get baptized. And she probably put it out there on the social media world. I've been changed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus came in my life, rescued me from an eternal hell. He rescued me from a living hell. And now he gives me a life full of purpose. My friend, I don't care who you are, Jesus loves you. He came to be born for you, to one day die on a cross for your sins. If you don't know Jesus today, don't leave here. Don't leave here without talking to someone about Jesus. The most important decision is for you to make. I can't make it for you. Your friends, your family members can't make it for you. The only decision that you can make, and you have to do it yourself. Maybe you're here today, you're a Christian, but man, you've lost your joy. I pray today that you get your eyes off the circumstances. Know that there's a God in heaven who still loves you. He's still in control. That you renew your joy in him. And maybe you're a Christian here today, and you know, life is fine, but you've got no purpose. You've been kind of spinning your wheels. I say this week is a great week to revive your purpose. And one of the greatest things you can do as a child of God is to point people to him. Christmas Eve service coming up. Why don't you get on the phone, text somebody, email someone, Facebook someone, Snapchat someone, I don't know, whatever you do. Let them know, hey, why don't you sit with me? Christmas Eve, one of three services, so that they can experience the light that you've once received. And he's still living inside, even today. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us today. We thank you for a joyful time of the year because you came. Because you came. And you deliver us from an eternal hell. You deliver us from a living hell. And you have given us a new life. A life of purpose. Oh God, I pray that we don't miss it. I pray we don't miss the message of Christmas. A Savior has been born. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.